Your host tonight is the eating disorder pro, Dr. J. Renee Norton. She comes to you live from Cincinnati, Ohio, home of the Bengals, the Reds, and of course, the Norton Center for Eating Disorders. If you or a loved one is struggling with obesity, anorexia, bulimia, emotional eating, or if you're just worried about food pollution, then you'll want to unhook and tune in.
Good evening, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. I'm Dr. Renee Norton, the Eating Disorder Pro, and I'll be your host this evening. Thank you so much for joining us, and Happy New Year! So, I, for one, am filled with hope. Of course, I've been accused of being an optimist in the past, and I don't think it's ever more true than at the beginning of the year. Despite everything that's happening, I firmly believe that things will get better, and that this is the time to decide to take action, to decide on what you specifically want to make better in your life. It's a time for renewal, and what better way to make a New Year's resolution than to focus on your health? Of course, that is probably one of the more common New Year's resolution themes. But before we get into that, before we get into tips on how to make resolutions that you can keep, and why you should, let's just look at the tradition of New Year's resolutions and New Year's Eve in other countries. In many countries, New Year's celebrations begin on the evening of the 31st and continue into the early hours of the 1st, just as they do here in the United States. Revelers often enjoy meals and snacks that are thought to bestow good luck for the coming year. For example, in Spain, and several other Spanish-speaking countries, people bolt down a lot of grapes or a dozen grapes, and this symbolizes the hope that the months ahead will be positive. The more grapes they can ingest right before midnight, the more optimistic they are. In other parts of the world, traditional New Year's dishes feature legumes, and because they're thought to resemble coins, and that they may herald future financial success. So some examples would include lentils in Italy, as well as black-eyed peas in southern United States. And then, of course, pigs represent progress and prosperity in many cultures, so that pork appears on the New Year's Eve table in Cuba, Austria, Hungary, Portugal, and other countries. You may come from a country where ring-shaped cakes and pastries are a sign of good luck because they signify that the year has come full circle, that you made it, basically, that you made it through another year, and that this is very common in the Netherlands, in Mexico, pardon me, in Greece. In Sweden and Norway, rice pudding, I like this tradition, rice pudding, first of all, I love rice pudding, has an almond hidden inside, and it's served on New Year's Eve. And it is said and believed that the person that finds the almond can expect 12 months of good fortune. That would make me very happy, even though almonds aren't that great for us, but the rice pudding, ugh, is there anything better? The practice of making resolutions for the new year is thought to have first caught on among the ancient Babylonians. They made promises in order to earn the favor of the gods and to start the year off on the right foot. They would reportedly vow to pay off debts and return borrowed farm equipment, which is interesting. So it started out as a somewhat superstitious activity or behavior. Then in the 18th century, the Puritans, avoiding even naming Janus, instead they called January the first month, and that was because they were concerned about, it was a superstition, and the concern was, let's not tempt the fates by calling this the first month. Let's just avoid that and move forward into the year. In contrast, the Puritans urged their children to skip all the revelry and instead spend their time reflecting on the past year. and contemplating the year to come. So they took a very somber approach to New Year's Eve. In this way, they adopted again the old custom of making resolutions. These were enumerated as commitments to better employ their talents, to treat their neighbors with charity, to avoid their habitual sins. So some of the things that we might see in a New Year's resolution. The great American theologian Jonathan Edwards brought up in the New England culture himself, took the writing of resolutions to an art form. But he didn't write about his resolutions. Rather, during a two-year period when he was between 19 or 20, following his graduation from Yale, he compiled about 70 resolutions on various aspects of his life, and he committed to reviewing each week. So here are just a couple of examples. For example, he resolved in narrations never to speak anything but the pure and simple truth. Resolved never to speak evil of any except I have some particular good call for it. So he did give himself a little wiggle room there. He did give himself a way out. If the person really, really damaged him, apparently he could speak evil about them. Resolved, always do what I can towards making, maintaining, and establishing peace. It can be without, overbalancing to the detriment in other respects. Or when it can be without, overbalancing detriment to the other respects. In other words, peace not at all costs, but peace whenever he could. So he did 70 resolutions on various aspects of his life, and then he committed to reviewing each of those each week. So recently, I had a patient tell me about her habit, which sounds, in some ways, sounds similar. And I love this, and I wanted to share it with my audience. She said that every time something good happens to her, it could be anything. It could be a first kiss. It could be an unexpected compliment. It could be a free day. It could be frequent flyer miles. It could be anything. Anytime something good in her life, a smile from a friend, just a good conversation with a friend, anytime something like that happened, she would write it on a post-it note and put it in a jar. And I'm going to call this post-it hopes on post-it notes. I liked the idea so much. And then, so she collects these post-it notes, these good things that happened to her throughout the year. She dates each one of them. And then on January 1st, she can go back and look at all of the good things that happened to her during the year. I just think that is such a great way to start off your new year. I think a lot of us, especially people who are a bit depressed or overly anxious, I think we have a tendency to focus on the negative. And this is just a great way, from my point of view, to focus on the positive. What were the good things, even if they were small, even if they were things I might not take note of or remember? What were the good things that happened to me in the past year? I love that. I'm going to do it myself. I've already written my first post-it note. My New Year's Eve was particularly joyful. We danced, literally, until our shoes came off. And people let us know that they enjoyed the dancing, which is amazing to me. And we just had such a good time. It was such an amazing celebration. I love dancing. I love singing. I think those are joyful experiences. So that was my first post-it note in my post-it hope jar. Please feel free to do the same thing, and then let us know what that's like for you. So I can envision that on January 1, when you go back and you dump out all those notes and you re-examine the year and you get in touch with all of the wonderful positive things that happened to you during the year, I can imagine that that might trigger you to identify what you want to do more of in the year to come. And that might be a really good way of sort of jumping into the New Year's resolution. So the early Roman calendar consisted of 10 months and 304 days, which each new year beginning at the vernal equinox. According to this tradition, it was created by Romulus, the founder of Rome, in the 8th century, January 1, or New Year's Day. A later king, Numa Pompilius, is credited with adding the months of Januarius and Februarius, and over the centuries, this calendar fell out of sync with the sun. And in 46 BC, the Emperor Julius Caesar decided to solve the problem by consulting the most prominent astronomers and mathematicians of his time. And he introduced the Julian calendar, which closely resembles the more modern Gregorian calendar that most countries around the world use today. So Julius Caesar is credited with creating the calendar, or a version of the calendar that we today are still using. As a part of his reform, Caesar instituted January 1 as the first day of the year, partly to honor the month's namesake, Janus, the Roman god of beginning, whose two faces allowed him to look back into the past and forward into the future. I just love that idea. I mean, I love the idea of looking back, looking forward, but I also always advocate for living in the moment. I think we can look back and look forward at the same time and still be in the moment. And I think that is what we want to strive to do whenever we can. In medieval Europe, Christian leaders temporarily replaced January 1 as the first year with the days carrying more religious significance, like December 25th, which is the anniversary of Jesus' birth, March 25th, that was the Feast of the Annunciation, and Pope Gregory the 13th reestablished January 1 as New Year's Day in 1582. So since 1582, January 1 has been New Year's Day, and probably will remain so for many centuries to come, would be my guess. So one of the things that my patients want to know, and that many people want to know, is how do we keep New Year's resolutions? I was talking to my father about this morning, and I was telling him about the show, and that I was going to do a show on New Year's resolutions, and that I was going to start out with why we have them to begin with, how they came about. And he said, I know why we have them. And I said, what? And he said, so we can break them. That just cracked me up. I think that's a really good point. I think that a lot of times, I can see some joy in having a New Year's resolution that you break, although I have to admit that most people want to identify. That might be the person who is making the New Year's resolution too difficult. Or that might be the person who is, in a sense, setting themselves up to fail with their New Year's resolution. So while I really get it, what my dad was saying, and I had to chuckle because he was convinced that was definitely the way to go, I'd say that most of my patients want to do something. They want to identify a New Year's Eve resolution that they can try and keep. So what are some of the, first of all, let's look at some of the more common New Year's resolutions. A lot of them have to do with weight. And that might include exercising, that might include changing the way you eat and so forth. So of course the exercising is a good thing. But most people, when they think about changing the way they eat, are really thinking about and actually implementing a diet. And if you've listened to my show at all, you know diets are so dangerous. They don't work. They backfire. You get ill trying to be on a diet. You gain weight. Ultimately, you gain weight being on a diet. So please, please, if you don't take anything else away from this, don't make dieting the way your New Year's resolution. It's a bad idea. If you want to end up more healthy next year when it comes to food, focus on eating cleaner. Nobody can just begin to eat clean and eat clean. It's impossible. It's too difficult. It takes a lot of information, knowledge, and it also takes extra work. And unfortunately, in our society, we have a tendency to be a bit spoiled. So putting in the extra work, it's hard for us to wrap our head around it until we get it how great the results are, and then it gets much easier. But we start slow and baby steps, and that is one of the first recommendations I am going to make for how you make and keep a New Year's Eve resolution, or New Year's resolution, sorry. So let's say, for example, that you want to become more healthy, and part of being more healthy is that you get more exercise. So instead of saying something like, I'm going to go to the gym every day, which actually that wouldn't even be a good idea, but instead of saying something unrealistic like, I'm going to go to the gym 5 days a week, it would make much more sense if you said, I'm going to get some kind of physical activity every day, even if it's just walking up and down the driveway a couple of times or walking up and down the steps in the house a couple of times more than I would have, or parking a little bit further when I go to Whole Foods, or going to the gym a day or two a week more than I am going currently. That makes sense. Starting small. If you're trying to eat healthier, try cutting out one thing that you know you don't want to eat. So, for example, if your goal is to eat clean, and if you listen to me very much, hopefully that is your goal, then what you might want to do is just go organic on all of the foods that are on the Dirty Dozen list. So we've got the Dirty Dozen, and those are foods that have a lot of insecticide and pesticide. And then we have the foods that are not on the Dirty Dozen list. We have the foods that are safe to eat if they're not organic. So maybe just instead of going 100% organic, which is not always easy and not for everyone, maybe just eating the Dirty Dozen foods organic is a place to start. Or you might try cutting out processed sugars from your diet. That would be one of the healthiest things that you could do that would go the farthest in terms of ensuring your long-term health, because we know that sugar causes inflammation, and inflammation is at the heart of so many of the disorders that we are experiencing right now. So just cutting out processed sugars, or most processed sugars, don't add any sugar, and then slowly but surely eliminate processed sugars as well. So no added sugar for starters, and eliminating processed sugars over time would be a way to start. Also, it's a really good idea to change one behavior at a time. Unhealthy behaviors develop over the course of time. Replacing unhealthy behaviors with healthy ones is going to take time. So don't get overwhelmed and think that you have to reassess everything in your life in order to be healthy, for example. Instead, just work toward changing one thing. So the first thing that you might change, for example, would be drinking more water. That's one of my New Year's resolutions. I'm pretty good at drinking water, but I still think I could drink more. And I've already started, and I feel better already. I figured out a method that makes it as easy for me to drink more water as possible. So drinking more water might be a small change, but it could be a significant change for you. It really helps your kidneys, even helps to detox your liver. Another thing that you can do besides just changing one behavior at a time or starting small is to talk about it. So I just announced that I'm drinking more water. Everybody who knows me will be expecting me to drink more water. I have to drink more water now because I told you and others that I am drinking more water. That is a very, very effective change strategy. Share your experiences with family and friends. Consider joining a support group if it's a really big thing to reach your goal, such as a workout class for your gym or maybe there are coworkers that are trying to quit smoking. Hang out with them. Having someone to share your struggles and successes with makes your journey to a healthier lifestyle much easier and much less intimidating. You can learn from other people's mistakes, and you can learn from their successes. This next tip is really important. By the way, these tips are all coming from the American Psychological Association. Took them right off of their website, but I haven't found one yet that I disagree with. Another tip that I think is really a good tip is don't beat yourself up. My dad's position that we have New Year's resolutions so we can break them, okay, he's a little bit on the cynical side. And you could look at that he just gets a lot of enjoyment out of breaking those New Year's resolutions. But most people, when they don't succeed with their New Year's resolutions, have a tendency to beat themselves up, even if they're not particularly mindful of it. I think once you've decided this is your New Year's resolution and you put it into play and it isn't really working or you're having a hard time sticking to it, to the degree that you beat yourself up, you'll make it less likely that you can stick to it. I find that the most successful people are the people that pat themselves on the back for the small steps, the baby steps, and keep pushing. You can't just pat yourself on the back for the small steps because you won't get where you want to go. But if you don't pat yourself on the back for the small steps, it's too easy to get discouraged. So take advantage of the fact that we like to be rewarded for success. Compliment yourself. Pat yourself on the back, even when your successes are small. You know, my goal to drink 32 ounces of water every day, what happens when I only get in 8? Well, that's maybe 8 more than I got in before I had this goal. Okay, that's actually really a lot less than I'm drinking, but anyway, you get the point. Put some positive reinforcement into your system. What the problem is that if you beat yourself up, thinking about the behavior that you are trying to change becomes noxious. You don't want to think about it because you aren't doing it the way you wanted to. And then you can't problem solve. In order to problem solve, to try to figure out, okay, why is it that I keep forgetting to drink the water? In my own case, it was I had this complicated system for getting myself water that I could only get from a certain place in a certain way, and I don't have it anymore. I have greatly simplified the process to make it easy for me to have water with me, on me, all the time, and I think that's going to work. If you can't look at failure as an opportunity, then you're less likely to be successful. Everyone has ups and downs. The resolve to recover from mistakes and get back on track is probably much more important than anything else when it comes to keeping New Year's resolutions. Another thing you can do that most people find very helpful but don't do is just asking for support. Accepting help from those who care about you, who want to listen to your struggles, who can offer suggestions to help you be more resilient, who may have some special skills themselves at managing the problems that you're struggling with. Those are really good opportunities to benefit from the successes that other people have had. You're not admitting a weakness when you tell people that you're struggling with an issue. It takes a strong person to admit that they are having trouble. That's not necessarily, that's a strength. That is always going to be a positive, something that you will always be able to fall back on, and that you can't get better, you can't go forward without identifying what you're doing wrong and seeking to improve it. I really think of myself as a work in progress all the time. I pride myself on always learning new things, and it doesn't bother me really anymore, and that's probably because I'm old, but it doesn't bother me anymore to say, I still don't quite know how to do that, or I'm still working on being better at this. as long as I'm working on it, I'm fine with it. It's when I give up, or if I gave up, that I would feel badly. So I think it's important to think in those terms. We have a tendency, especially people who have eating disorders and or are obese, they have a tendency to use all or nothing thinking. If I don't get it perfect, I shouldn't do it at all. That's so wrong. Nobody ever gets it perfect. Nobody ever gets it perfect right away. Most of us have to keep trying before we get it right. And there's beauty in that. There's no shame in it, for sure. And in many cases, there's beauty in that. The trying, the making the effort, that's a good thing. That's a very good thing. So, in a nutshell, that is it for this evening. Next week's show is going to be a recipe show. I am going to have some of the best recipes to help you stay on track with your eating New Year's resolutions. One is a flourless brownie that, I'm not kidding, that thing is simply to die for. It is just delicious. Another one is a way that I do nuts that gives you a dose, or I shouldn't say a dose, gives you a hit of coconut oil with your nut, and is spicy and satisfies the need that you might have for salty, and at the same time gives you these delicious nuts. It's an all-around awesome treat. Then I also have this really darn good, just delicious way of making popcorn. I was sitting in the theater the other day, and I brought my own popcorn, of course, and the woman sitting next to me said, "Oh, it smells so good. I see that you didn't get it here." And I sheepishly admitted that, no, I didn't get it at the theater. I brought it. And she said, "But what, can I taste that?" And I shared it with her. And she said, "What is making that taste so good? It tastes so good. It smells so different." And I shared with her that it was the coconut oil. There's no better oil for popcorn than coconut oil. So I'm going to share with you my secret to making the best popcorn you've ever eaten. So we're going to have the flourless brownies, the amazing nuts, the perfect popcorn, and let's see, what am I forgetting? There's one more treat that, and my fudge, my famous fudge. My fudge is made with hemp florets. It has almost no storable fat, and it has a tremendous hit of protein. It's kind of like those protein bars that I have on my website, but it's more delicious. It really is fudge, so people are loving it. Hopefully you will as well. So be sure to tune in next week for the treats, New Year's Eve, or New Year's resolution treats recommendations that I have. And in the meantime, if you'd like to email me, my email address is drnorton@eatingdisorderpro.com. Feel free to send in an email. We're going to spend this entire month on focusing on changing habits, getting healthier. We'll dive into a little bit more detail on fitness, and I'm going to talk about the Fitbit the week after next, and a couple of other things along the lines of wellness programs, especially organizational wellness. So this is really going to be our month about renewal and how to get back on track, so be sure to stay tuned in. Love to get your feedback. Sorry nobody was brave enough to call in today. No worries, no biggie. We'll catch you next time. And in the meantime, eat clean, commit to be fit, and live your life wisely.